a bite-sized chunk of your favourite show, the Tom, Lingy and Loggy podcast.
We had on Wednesday night a Christmas party here at the station where a lot of the local businesses who are involved with K-Rock across the year come along and they hang out. And, you know, you, Lingy and I, we were in one of the studios and we were playing one second song with them.
Yeah, it was really fun.
Yeah, it's a good time. And so, you know, we all get around and we have a little nibble and we have a little sip and then we, you know, do cut little speeches and give away some prizes and stuff. It's all a good time, yeah.
Andy Popjoy from Piano Bar was here.
Yes.
And then one of the guys that works here said, no, I'll have the mic, thank you, and started singing a Christmas song.
I missed that. Was it appropriate?
I love it. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
No, it was great. But that's the type of Christmas vibe where it's like anything goes, you know?
Yeah, sure.
It's a radio station.
Right. Well, so it's always good to reconnect with some people that, you know, you've known for years, but you don't get to see sort of on the daily or even, you know, semi-regularly.
Yeah.
And one of those were the crew from Body Pleasure Piercing.
Mm-hmm.
So they were here and they...
Rhonda.
She is an absolute
legend.
Yeah, but so they were here and they were hanging out, and just before everything wrapped up, Rhonda came over and she said, "Hey, you were right. They're back."
What?
Eyebrow piercings.
Oh, Rhonda is so lovely. Like, she will just she goes a long way to make sure that everyone has a very merry Christmas.
Well, she sort
and just brings joy. And lies.
Joy and lies. It's kind of what Christmas is about, isn't it? She did. She sought me out to let me know that since we did that promotion where we gave
Tom
away,
holes.
Yeah, where we got everyone got Tom holes.
Yeah, an eyebrow ring.
Eyebrow piercings.
Yeah.
There's been a real uptick in the uptake of eyebrow piercings. So the kids these days are going with the little barbell like I've got, right?
Okay.
They're going either side or both sides.
Mm.
Sometimes they're going double in the one eyebrow. I said, is anyone doing the sort of Drazik from Heartbreak High?
Yeah.
The
ring.
Sleeper?
Yeah, I love the sleeper.
She said, no.
Well,
no.
We don't do sleepers. It is a little bit dangerous.
Yeah,
the sleeper, because it can get catchy and then rip off your head. We're talking Gen Z are getting this done.
Yeah, and you know what else they're doing? They're doing the reverse eyebrow piercing, where it's the bit of the cheek under the eye. They're getting like a little barbell put through there.
Well, that's.
And I said to her, Rhonda, you can pierce anything, can't you? You can just put a hole in anything.
Well, yeah, they can.
A piece of jewellery in it.
Yeah.
And that's what they're doing. So I don't know about that. I said, Gen Z just next level everything, don't they? They just have to be a little bit extra.
I don't want to sound mean by asking
you
this.
You do, though.
No, I really don't. Are they doing it as like a joke?
No, I said to her, I was like, Rhonda, I knew it would come back around. Because everything does. It had to at some point.
Okay.
So,
well, can I say you are the most cool-looking Gen Z that I've seen.
Gen Z? I do have the socks pulled up as well. So.
Yeah, and you get out here on your skateboard, you're like, later, crew, I got the ribs.
What's the dog from Simpsons in Itchy and Scratchy?
Poochie.
Poochie, yeah. I am the human incarnation of Poochie with an eyebrow ring.
Tom, Lingy and Loggy. Listen live weekdays at 6 a.m. on K-Rock 955 or online at krock.com.au.
I have a wig party tomorrow night. So it's not a dress up. It's a wig party.
Oh, okay. Yeah, cool.
Okay.
That's
and
fun.
I haven't been to one of them for ages, so I'm really excited. And you know me, I'm always like, oh, yeah, no, I've got that sorted. Don't worry about it. I don't have to think about stuff because it'll be fine.
Yeah.
I know that I've got a wig because I've worn it to expensive dinners that we've had here at K-Rock and also to a previous party. And I'm like, that's fine. Once you've got one wig, you just keep it and you just keep recycling.
You did keep it, did you? Because we asked you not to wear it at any more work functions because the alter ego comes out when you...
Yeah. No, I've decided to keep it. I got it from Get Your Gear On. It's great.
Okay.
Right? Rest in peace. Anyway, and so I got it out and I thought, I've got a dress for this weekend and I thought, I don't need to put them together because it's just a wig and it's fine.
A wig will look good with anything.
A wig will look good with anything. And the wig in question is a short blonde bob with a fringe. Mm.
And
okay?
When you wear it, you become Tabitha, who is a lot of fun, but she's a lot. Okay. She's a lot.
Yeah.
Like, and quite inappropriate.
Anyway, the dress that I have is I got myself from something from Dish, not a paid presentation, and it's like a brown, you know how chocolate's really in at the moment?
Sure.
Sure, right? That's what I read, so I thought, okay, good. So I got that. It's like a dress, and it's off the shoulder and whatever, right?
Fun.
So I put that outfit together last night because I thought I better have a look at it and just make sure that the wig's in good condition and that it's all
good, this is a little sort of preview of what you're going to look like tomorrow.
Yeah. So I did, and I took a photo.
Yeah, yeah.
And I've sent you that photo. Okay. So if you just want to open it, you know.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Can I say? Can I say? I love you, and you are beautiful every single day of your life in different ways sometimes.
I try so hard, and it never works out for me.
What springs to mind is... Yabba dabba doo!
I know! Look at the next photo I send you! Oh my
God. Yes, it's Bam Bam! You look like Bam Bam!
Yeah. I look like Bam Bam, but I've escaped from the trash.
Yeah. Well, you're going to brush the wig, aren't you? You're not going to wear it like
but
that.
But I don't think it's going to make any difference with it off the shoulder brown.
Oh, mate.
I look like Bam Bam. Anyway.
I reckon.
No.
Wait.
No.
It's salvageable.
I'm such a loser.
It's still good.
I'm such a loser. Like I can't do anything right. And like I tried.
Like a pig flying through the air in Simpsons. It's still good. It's still good.
It's just a little airborne.
Yeah, it's just. So if you accessorize.
I don't think I can. What do you mean? Like have the wooden bat with the nails?
Yeah. Arrive at the party sliding down the neck of a dinosaur. But you'd in a different dress, yeah.
The Tom, Lingy and Loggy podcast.
Carrot 955, Tom and Dave are here live at Good Things 2025. And, mate, this is the one we've been waiting for.
Oh, yeah. We're so excited.
Yeah, so to be able to say that we are sitting in a very small tent, Shirley Manson and Butch Big from Garbage is a huge moment for us, guys. Thank you so much for having a chat to us.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, we're excited to be here. The tent is very small, but it's not too hot today, so we're very happy.
Oh, see, I'm really struggling in the heat today. I can't believe you're doing fine.
I mean, we've played so many festivals over the years, and when it gets up in the 90s or 100s or 40 degrees centigrade, it can be brutal. But today is lovely. We're really excited.
So you guys have been to Australia many, many times. I just have to say, the first time I saw you guys, I was 15. It was Festival Hall, like 1997, I want to say. My dad took me, I'm 96, and my dad's like basically my first rock concert. So
that's amazing.
You guys must be at that point of your career where you're getting a lot of those stories from people like, you know, they've grown up with you, essentially.
Yeah, we are getting a lot of stories like that. People are coming to the shows with their kids.
Yeah.
Which is really sweet.
It's cool.
Yeah. We feel like it's a real privilege, quite honestly. So yeah, we're glad we're still around. We're sort of amazed that we still are.
Yeah.
And we can't quite figure out how we got so lucky, you know, but here we are, 30 years on. It's pretty insane.
We can. You guys are so talented. Your music is incredible. Yeah. And it's tough.
It's the music. The music is very good.
Generations. That's why you're here. It's incredible.
Yeah, it is incredible.
We played a show in Auckland a couple nights ago, and the last song in our set was from our new album, The Day I Met God. And I looked out during the song, and probably the whole front row was a lot of really young women, and they were all singing along to the song and crying and sobbing.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is really cool.
We love to make people cry.
Yeah.
And so you would, because I mean, you particularly yourself, Shirley, I mean, obviously being a feminine icon here in the world, leading people in punk rock, it's incredible. How does that feel for you?
I don't know if that's true, to be honest. I mean, I have enjoyed a lot of love from women in the music industry, and it's a real badge of honour for me, you know. I come from very powerful female stock. You know, my granny was a badass. She was a suffragette and she got a double degree in mathematics and astrology in the 1920s in Scotland. I mean, when women didn't even go to university, really. So I come from that bloodline, you know, and my mum was a badass and I hope to be a badass. And my niece, who's nearly 16, assures me I'm a badass. So I'll take it, you know, I'll take it.
And now your niece is going to end up a badass, too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. She's absolutely a badass already.
Yeah. No doubt. Butch, mate, you're so busy with your producing as well as being part of a band. You know, you've been involved with so many amazing acts over the journey. Are you a producer who plays in bands or are you a muso who happens to produce albums as well?
Well, I'm very lucky that I've had two careers in a way, but I started out in bands in high school and I like it that I've been able to bounce back and forth, because as much as I love being in the studio, you don't get that kind of feedback from an audience. When we do something in the studio among garbage, you go, that was pretty cool, and then we move on to the next thing. When you're playing in front of an audience and you have this immediate response, it's an incredible adrenaline rush. Plus, I like being in bands because it's like being in a little club.
Yeah.
You know, you're in your little club, and it's, and we garbage has been together now 30 years, and it's because we like working together, we like each other, you know, and so it's cool being in bands.
I mean, over 30 years, you guys have played so many shows. What is your favorite song to get up there at the moment and whip out for everyone?
I mean, we're playing three or four songs from the new album, which is always fun because it's fresh for us. Like I said, we played the Day I Met God the other night. There's a song, Chinese Fire Horse, that we've been playing, which the lyrics are exactly what Charlie said about some journalist asking her to retire a couple years ago because she's a woman. And anyway, that's turned into a real stomper live, and it's so much fun to play every night. I don't know. Some of our songs are like little babies we've had forever, like Push It and Only Happy When It Rains. And we played them 1,000 times. I still love playing them.
Well, I love to hear that. It's amazing.
Do they hit different, though? Some of those older songs, particularly from the first couple of albums, when you play them on stage now, do they feel different to the band?
No,
actually,
that's an interesting question. I don't think so. They feel the same to me.
Yeah.
They don't take on new meaning as the years... Oh, of course, but they don't take on new meaning as the years go on?
I don't know. I mean, the lyrics are very specific. You know, there's not room for a lot of misinterpretation or reinterpretation.
Or freestyling.
I don't know. I don't think about the old songs very much, to be perfectly honest. I play, for me personally, I play them because my band would get on my tits about it if I didn't. You know, I understand that they have given me a lot of freedom in my life, and I'm very grateful to the old songs. But I'm a very different person than I was in 1995, and I'm much more invested in the record that we've just made rather than a record that we made 30 years ago. I think it's pretty pathetic, actually, when bands are only obsessed with what was so popular at the time of their genesis, basically. You know, I think, I think this is really important to note, I think if you don't develop as a band, you're dead in the water.
Yeah.
You know, if you rely on old songs from 30 years ago, you're a sad.
And to be fair, I mean, every album that we've made, we've tried to push ourselves as a band. And whenever a record comes out, there's a certain part of our fans who just want us to make the first album over again, and we don't want to do that.
There are a lot of bands that struggle with that, and some of them end up sort of coming back from a hiatus, releasing something that doesn't land with their original crowd, and then they sort of go into the horizon again, you know?
Yeah.
That's really sad.
I think it's a real temptation to repeat yourself, but ultimately what happens is you just become really stale.
Yeah.
You know? I don't know. Some bands have managed to pull it off, but there's few and far between.
So you guys feel like the garbage fans have come along the ride?
They
totally.
Have. God bless them.
Yeah.
I mean, we've...
For 30 years. Crazy.
So cool. Yeah. I think we drive them mad.
Yeah.
Because I think deep down they really are hoping for the first record over and over again. But they're willing to indulge us. And I think they get enough out of the the sort of growth of the band to stick with us, and we're really grateful for that. They've given us enormous freedom in an industry that's really harsh, you know, and we've just got to do whatever it is that we want to do.
But I mean, you,
amazing, how lucky.
You guys have given that, like, you've given, we've given you the freedom of these songs, but you've given us, like, these pieces of music that, you know, mean a lot to a lot of people, you know, so thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for even... I mean, you know, if you're around for 30 years, you're a bit like an old slipper, you know, that people have fondness for, but they don't have any particular penchant for slipping that old slipper on their foot.
It's when a little worn out, but it's still comfortable.
It's big. Well, that's the thing. When you actually do, when you do slip your foot into that old slipper, there's a lot of comfort to be had.
Feels like home.
It feels like home.
Yeah, it does feel like home.
It does.
It's like a monster. Oh, that's war. That'd be war.
That's war?
Yeah. It's crazy.
No way.
Oh my god.
Playing?
They just played. Yeah.
Holy shit.
Okay, so quick story.
Yeah.
So quick story. The very first Garbage Show we ever did in Minneapolis, we played soundcheck. We went back to the hotel. Shirley and I walked up to the venue, 7th Street entry. And there was this giant line of sort of these weird-looking fans there. We go, oh, my God, look at all the fans here to see Garbage. We came around the corner, and in the upstairs room, it was Gwar playing. And we walked into the venue, and they were playing Bring Me the Head of Jerry Garcia, just spewing blood all over the stage, and it was amazing.
You didn't take any inspiration from that in your wardrobe tonight?
No.
I take inspiration from war every day.
What a way to end it. Hey, Butch Vig, Shirley Metz, thank you so much for having a chance with us.
Thank you, thank
awesome
you so
love.
Much.
Lots of love.
We can't wait to see you on stage.
Thank you.
Tom, Lingy and Loggy. Why don't you get this podcast again sometime? And listen on air at KROQ 955, weekday mornings from 6.